This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Let's move over to another case, obviously, that we continue to follow. Nancy Guthrie, and not a lot of answers at all in any of this. Had a great conversation with Coffin Daffer the other day on it. That you can see on the feed. And there's just, there's so many damn questions, and we're going to go through the ones that you guys are asking. And I, right off the bat, obviously want to say, we're not accusing anybody of anything here.
Definitely,
but there's
not.
There's a lot of questions that are out there on this, and we are not accusing the family of anything. We're not going down that road. But there is a question that a lot of people have, and I think it's a fair question to ask, because you can't just not ask questions because it might make somebody uncomfortable. So I'm just going to throw it out there because I think it deserves an answer. Yep. Why was the family cleared so quickly, and by whom? This case should be about finding Nancy's killers, not protecting any possible suspects, including family members. And I'm saying that I am not accusing any family members. I do not think that that road leads anywhere. But given the clusterfuck of the investigation that this is and the incompetence of Nanos left and right, I think it deserves a bit of an answer. And the answer that we have as of right now, in my opinion, would be, well, the clearing of the family does appear to have been done by Nanos very early on, and made the press conference of saying flat out, we cleared them, which, so I'm assuming, you know, they did their diligence. It wasn't like the next day they cleared them. They did take some time. Mm-hmm. So this, and that's important to remember. This, it did fester for a little while where they didn't come out and clear them, but they look, and right away in any investigation, you're going to be looking at your closest possible suspects, which not necessarily suspects, but people who are closest to the individual. So if Nancy was younger and her husband was around, they'd look at her husband. You know, the people who were closest to her were her daughter and son-in-law. They take care. They were there all the time. So, of course, you're going to look there. But then eventually they check out, and it appears they checked out. And Nanos is the one who said they checked out. And so that's where the clearing comes from, to answer that question. How deep, where did they go? I don't know the answers to those questions, and I'm not saying it wasn't thorough, but that is the answer to that question. That's where the clearing came from, was from Nanos. To our understanding, if the FBI has cleared them, we're not aware of that. That's never been publicly stated.
It wouldn't
Robin?
Have been. Yeah, so the FBI wouldn't have been involved in the clearing just because it's not their investigation. They're in a support role for this. In a support role after, 3 days? So, and I looked this up. So I am also, from the very early stages, this first thing you do in all these cases, you look, it's always relationships first. You always, anytime there's a murder, homicide, missing person, you always got to look for the people closest to them. Because I think, what's the status? 96-98% of the perpetrators of these violence against other human beings is by someone in their immediate family circle or someone in their first degree of separation.
Sure.
So they're always looking close in first because that's generally where it is. That you go by law as averages. And so when they first started looking, I know all the conjecture was originally coming out on the son-in-law, mm-hmm. and the daughter's involvement, whatever. And behaviorally, so I don't have facts and data or details of investigation, but I have behavioral footprints you can take a look at. And from the very early set on, I was not of the opinion ever that it was that close family, because not only does it not fit the behavior pattern of those individuals, but also it makes no logical sense. And these are not David type morons. These are actually decent people with decent brains. Healthy relationships is key here too, from everything we've seen, both in family, outside of family, observations, healthy relationships, because happy people don't do that horrendous things towards loved ones. It's just a rule of thumb in law enforcement. So then you can back all that up with alibis and all these things. That's how you clear people. But here's the problem Nanos created for himself in the way in which he did this. I looked this up. Full public clearance for cases such as this generally takes, usually, again, you look at law of averages, and this is why this flared up, especially with a large prominent case like this. You're always, especially with today's world, you're going to get the conspiracy theorists that are going to poke at everything you do wrong. And he is a plethora of wrong.
Yeah.
And so he cleared them 1 to 2 weeks into the investigation. It generally takes 3 to 8 weeks in most investigations to clear. Was he Or are they accurate, I think, in the clearance? Yes, but because there's not transparency into the how, what, and how, where they cleared them, or what criteria they used and all things, not that the public would know that, but it gave material and fodder to the conspiracy theorists that it must be them, he's in on it, and all these things, because he broke the norm. You know, anytime you break the norm, then you're going to subject yourself to a lot of scrutiny. And again, in the way he communicated it, because his communication has been, I wouldn't say, I guess maybe flippant, because he will spout one thing and then contradict the other day. So he starts establishing a pattern of inconsistencies. And then if you see inconsistencies in statements here, and then you see him breaking patterns of clearances over here, then conspiracy theorists are going to say, ah, so that's what broke there, I think. Again, I think they had nothing to do with whatsoever. I have from the very get-go. But due diligence and public perception should have told him you got to wait at least 3 weeks, if not more, to publicly state and actually be able to demonstrate what we did to clear the family, especially when you have such a high-profile case where a lot of conspiracy theorists are saying it's family members. You're going to have to at least be able to back up your claim that they're cleared, even if it's not protocol to do it, with some things you did in order to. And he said they've been fully cooperative, but most people always say they're fully cooperative. And again, we never even got a full explanation. I came up with a theory about why they kept the daughter's car so long. Well, because, you know, what are they doing with the daughter's car? They're still keeping it because they're holding it as evidence. My conjecture on it is, well, if whoever's taking care of Nancy as a primary caregiver, which is the daughter and the son-in-law, anyone associated with Nancy is going to be brought to and from that house, or Nancy herself, where are they going to be brought in and out of? That car. So if there's any potential DNA, residue, hairs, follicles, mm-hmm. of anyone with one degree of separation in Nancy, it's probably going to be in that car. So they would hold on to it longer to get forensic data out of it, not because they're looking at the family, but because of the people who might have been in and out of that car.
Anyway. I mean, in theory, it could easily be somebody who her daughter and Tommaso knew, and they don't even suspect that could be in their orbit today. And so there's a lot of reasoning that would make sense as to why they would hold onto that car for that long. It's, in my opinion, I feel like Nanos, in his gazillion missteps, that is the entire case. This was another horrific misstep of coming out and saying that. Where granted, yes, the heat got really high on Tommaso and Annie, and it was what it was. It's horrible. I can't imagine, you know, being in that position where your mother is missing and likely dead, and now suddenly all these people think you did it, and you didn't. But the fact that he came out and didn't let it basically kind of run its cycle of, okay, do your work of clearing them and then transparently tell us how you cleared them. That would shut it down far, far greater than just, they didn't do it and you're an asshole if you say they did, because that's essentially what he did at a press conference. You're a horrible person. I forget, what was this, like, do you remember what his exact words were? It stood out, because we talked about it last week. It's like, he not only said, like, they didn't do it, but he said they didn't do it, and if you were saying that they did, it was something like, you're a despicable human. It was something of that
Some malicious, despicable,
where it's like, odd. That's an odd adage. But it felt more of like a deflection of the department's shitty work than it actually did truly try to be a deflection of them being involved. And not that I think they're involved in any way, shape, or form, but it all comes back to Nanos of ego, in my opinion, you know, and control and image.
There's a simple thing in aviation that is a simple saying I've said it on the show before, is no emergency takeoffs.
Yeah.
Because every emergency takeoff of an aircraft is going to guarantee an emergency landing.
Yeah.
And what that means in these contexts is, don't be fast to speak.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I was talking about one of the reasons why this is such a beautiful, perfect weekend for me with my daughter, because there's so many opportunities where I could have opened my mouth and I didn't. And I was more of a hero because I shut up, mm-hmm. you know, and I enjoyed the moment. You can take it in, you can assess, and you can play the impact of the words forward before you open that mouth. And so that's where he failed continually throughout this. I'll never question his intent, even though, I mean, egocentric behavior and all that, which we see in lots of leaders. So he kind of falls in the norm of that. But here's where he completely continued to fail was he didn't take a pause, take a breath before you start spouting out your mouth in playing forward. All right, if I say this, what are people's reactions going to be? What are the conspiracy theorists over here going to say? What's the reaction of family going to be? What, you know, and let's look at all the leading vocal people that are assaulting this case. What would be the impact of my words before they say them? How can I tweak them? Then you engage loving critics, people that you can actually bounce ideas off of and say, hey, I was thinking of saying this. What do you think about that? What do you think to all that you did in your closed circle before you put a statement out and say something? It's like, if the intent is, I want to ensure that the family's cleared and that there's no retribution against them and the department doesn't come under higher scrutiny by which I'm doing it, the speed of which I'm doing it. What's the best way forward to do that? What can I say that can accomplish that mission and goal while at the same time placating an entire country that seems to be fixated right now on this with lots of mouthpieces, hundreds of mouthpieces that are coming in and saying, boop, 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 picking apart every single word. So, because that's where, unbelievably, his immaturity of communicating with the media has completely failed him.
Yeah. You know, for someone who likes to tout how experienced he is, and then he's also the first to say, I'm not used to people taking my word seriously.
Yeah, huh? Over 40 years of doing this.
Really?
Right.
You're not used to that. Well, that says a lot about what's going on in the last 40 years. And maybe we should take a closer look at everything you've investigated in the last 40 years if this is how you're operating and no one's checked you yet on this. Oh, wait, they have. And it's been chaos through most of your career. It's a mess. Another question on this. We go back to one that, you know, we've talked about this at various stages of this over the last 5.5 months. We're literally going on half a year since this happened now. Were the ransom notes and Bitcoin demands legitimate or hoaxes / AI generated? Why demand traceable crypto if there's never any withdrawal or follow through? Robin, your thoughts and where it's at today.
So this is one of those things that most of us are in agreement on. Money was never the intent. For profit of ransoming Nancy, that wasn't the intent. My conjecture. I don't have data and details of the investigation. Some people have more, some people have less. I'm highly skeptical that any of those notes coming in were actually legitimate ransom notes. I don't think any of them were. But that's my personal opinion. Sure. Based on research, based on how these things work, because as I've said and other people have said too, if the intent was to profit from Nancy, they did a horrendous job of how to profit from doing this. This is not what, first of all, it's definitely not what people that have done this type of abduction before have ever done. The ransom notes, if they were legit, they were never ever done this way before, if the intent was to make money and profit from it. I'm not saying that the people that say they are legit, because I know Jen thinks they are legit, and it's not discounting other people's opinions. I'm personally skeptical, but I always live with the word maybe.
Yeah.
And I know they all are too. Everyone is a big maybe on this case, and we're kind of all leaning this way or this way. I'm not a believer that at least the vast majority of whatever come in was legit. Maybe the first one or two were, but if they were, so here's what they are. If they were legit, the first one or two, like much in this case, they are aberrations of what typically happens. And they land down in the under the 3% range of probable yes that they are legit. Mm-hmm. if they were.
And here's an observation I've made, and it's not in any way to disparage anybody that thinks that these things are legit, but I have made this observation of the folks that I do know that have that kind of land more on the we think some of them were legit, at least in some way, shape, mm-hmm. or form. They're not the most well-versed folks in AI. More power to you that you haven't gone down that rabbit hole in life yet, because once you do, you can't get out of it. And it's shocking what AI can. I mean, it reminds me of the first time somebody used Google, where it's like, what do you mean you can just look that up like that? you know, and we thought that was amazing in, you know, 1999.
I totally think they could have been AI generated. I've done it myself.
The same sort of shit. Like you like make this look, you've even attempted this to see what it could generate. And it knows how to speak to people. And look, people are easily influenceable without AI. If you just know how to press the buttons and you know how to speak to someone in a certain way and hit certain trigger points and you can get information out of them and then reinforce that information. It's not hard. AI's a fucking genius at it.
And here's what it can also do, because this is what I did when I was doing my research. And we did this a couple weeks ago. You know, researching how to use AI to create a ransom note that actually looks real with a lot of specificity. Yeah. And so there's a lot of data out there. There's a lot of photos. There's a lot of knowledge about Nancy out there, even if there's not specifics that they say, well, this has never been photographed before. Well, here's what you do. And I grant that there's people better at it than me. You're definitely better than me. And I know there's people even better. If you plug in what typically, and you have a background of Nancy, you have a background of where she grew up, you have a background of the family dynamic, and you actually have her typical clothing selections that she typically is wearing in public before, you can actually have AI create the likelihood and probability that she wears this type of thing at night, at this type of, you can actually have it do a predictive what she'd be wearing, where it would typically be, and all these things, and actually be friggin' accurate as living hell, so that when you put it into a ransom note, it looks completely legit and completely real, because AI is predictive. When you actually have a couple data points, it's exceptionally predictive. And so that's why, no one's been publicly accessed, that actually can interrogate those things. I know the FBI has it, so maybe they have looked at this, but from us in the public that have just what's been presented to us from Harvey on TMZ, I don't believe.
Well, you have that, and then mix in a person at that moment in their life. I mean, anybody, really. I mean, obviously the family more so, but really anybody who's not an evil human being is hoping that this could be a sign that Nancy's not dead, so you have that hope that's going on there that makes you lean into, as a human being, and if you're an empathetic human being, I'll preface it at that you want these things to be true to a certain, as horrible as it is, there's a ransom note, it's better than nothing, and that's is something that you're going to lean into naturally, going, oh, maybe this is a sign. You're looking for the pattern. You're looking for something. And if there's a little nugget to hold on to, and I don't know what those ransom notes are. They've never put them out to the public. I've heard bits and pieces behind the scenes of what they are. And everything I've heard of bits and pieces that were behind the scenes are, in fact, if you go watch a Today Show video of them at Nancy's house, you could make up a pretty damn good ransom note. Yeah. You know, you could make it. Well, see, they mentioned that she has this is not part of the ransom note. I'm just throwing this out there as an example. Like, well, she has an alarm clock on the left side of her bed, and it looks like this. And oh my God, they had to know that. Well, there was a video from the Today Show, and somebody could have gleaned it. Yeah, but did they really do that? Yeah, they really could have done that. Mm-hmm. But your the good naturedness is going to make you want to go, nah, I doubt they did. You're going to look for it of actually having some meaning in some sort of sign and not just bullshit that somebody is using to take advantage of people with. That's how we work. And again, that's not a true example. That's not part of the ransom note. That's just an example of how this thing theoretically could have been worded to trigger someone and people to go, must be true.
Well, and people always want to hang on to hope. And even when I was doing a lot of the news broadcasts from it, I didn't say it, but every stat I had and everyone behind the scenes is I didn't think she left that house alive.
Yeah, I don't think
from the very get-go. I mean, it was when you look at the law of averages of an abduction of someone who's 82 years old, you got blood splatter and then you have no sign of life, likelihood of survival.
Not good.
No. We're talking was under 5%.
Yeah.
And so that was from the very get-go.
Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.